Are you ready? Supercross is coming to Melbourne. Don't miss the Monster Energy OzX Open inside Marvel Stadium on November 30. See two-time world champion Chad Reed take on 2018 world champion Jason Anderson from the USA, Australia's best, and the greatest of all time, Ricky Carmichael. More racing, more action, more entertainment for all ages. Don't miss out. Book at Ticketmaster now.
That is off the scale fast.
Two weeks after the AFL Grand Final, days after the NRL Premiership, this week it's the Supercars Day of Days. All roads this week lead to Mount Panorama for the Bathurst 1000. And the man who has dominated the sport like no one before this season will this Sunday be gunning for the biggest prize he craves the most. Scott McLaughlin from DJR Team Penske. Thank you and welcome to Balls and Bumpers. This is the biggest week of your year. How are you feeling?
It is so. It's our grand final. Yeah, a bit nervous, but excited, but trying to do what the AFL boys do and just try and enjoy the week, and I'm in that position to be able to do that.
And a fortnight after winning an AFL Premiership, Jack Riewoldt is here. Jack, you're looking forward to your first Bathurst 1000 this weekend as a fan trackside, but we'll all be cheering on Scotty, won't we?
Can't wait to get the VIP experience, Tim. It's one thing I'm really looking forward to. Scotty, well, when are you heading up? That's what we want to know. Are you and how do you get there? Do you fly? Well, obviously, Roger Penske's not short of a dollar. Are you flying private into Bathurst there, chopper in, or are you? How are you doing? No.
So basically, when I was in Melbourne, I actually used to drive all the way from Melbourne straight to Bathurst. But now I fly a little Virgin burner down to Sydney, and then we drive a Virgin Australia burner down to.
Oh, he's in today.
Yeah, he is, and straight into Sydney, and then we'll drive out. Thanks to Avis, rental cars.
Oh my gosh!
in a Ford Mustang.
Do we even need to do the Ricky Bobby segment today? This is ridiculous.
This is it. Nah, Scott's open
and
up.
Straight into Bathurst, and we'll be this week. I'll be staying in a fancy motorhome thanks to Tiffin Motorhomes Australia as well. So really excited for the week with these guys.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that motorhome, Scotty, because you actually did send. We do have a WhatsApp group here at Balls and Bumpers. As every great organisation has a WhatsApp group, and you did the tour of the. I wouldn't even call it a camper van. I call it the bloody Taj Mahal. What you're rolling in there? It's sort of that a real American sort of RV setup. And you took us through and you showed us, oh, this is the bedroom and this is the shower and whatnot. Then you proceeded to show us the fridge and you opened the fridge. Why would we want to look inside the fridge?
And
then you opened the oven and showed us inside the oven. Like, mate, we do not care what we've all got a fridge and oven at home and we don't need to see what yours looks like in the Taj Mahal.
Look, I really just wanted to show you guys this thing was brand new because the plastic was still inside the oven and the fridge. And and that's all thanks to Tiffin Motorhomes Australia. So I'm really, really, really stoked with that.
So hang on, were you cook food there, or were you just have everything catered for you?
No. So we'll do catering at the track. We'll have snacks and stuff, and there'll be a few beers in there, hopefully for Sunday night. And then we'll party on.
I think we'll put a photo up because it is one of the most outrageous setups I have ever seen. Seriously, it's like staying in a 6-star hotel. I can't believe it.
Like everyone does it.
Everyone on Instagram, Jack. So it's already there.
Oh
so
my
we're
god!
Cop it
and I'll be
days.
Staying in a motorhome with my old man and my brother. All right, and yours.
Well, how big is yours? 5.6 meters or something?
5.6 meters. It had to be under 7 meters. That was the only thing that needed to be done. So, yep.
But
5.
Where are
6
you? You're out the back, aren't you? I've actually. Supercars have helped there.
You're in charge.
I've got you a paddock campsite inside basically you're going to be next to some punters, so you're going to have the proper Bathurst experience apart from being at the top of the mountain, so I hope you enjoy
well,
that.
Well, unlike you at the AFL Grand Final, Scotty, I'm actually going to go and sit with the people. You sat in the VIP area. I got you the good tickets because I know that you're pretty precious and that you wouldn't like to sit with the normal everyday human being, so I'll be average. Out there with my DJR Penske Polo on, which I'll need to grab off you. Not the black pants,
Shell
though.
V Power Racing, actually.
Sorry, Shell V Power Racing, and I won't have the black pants on. I'll have some other arrangement on underneath, but I'll be living the real Bathurst experience, unlike you, only goes to AFL finals.
I'm so excited to bring this little guy who's basically only seen Melbourne and Tasmania, and I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing, you know, showing him the big wide world, and really, really excited. You should come and do pit stop practice and all that sort of stuff and hang out. Be really cool. And Hodgie, you're going to be there, obviously. You're going to be doing work, or what's the deal?
Yeah, I'll be hanging around.
Will you have official duties?
I'm just doing a bit of radio work up there.
Who for?
For ABC Grandstand.
Should we do a
while we're on plugs?
Session?
Sorry, I've got to just get the plug away. We are here, Balls and Bumpers, episode 10, thanks to the AusX Open. That's the biggest supercross event to ever be held outside of the USA. It's at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne. It's Saturday, November 30, and we're going to see Jack and we're going to see Scott on Peewee 50s, which will be worth the price of admission alone.
Well, an update, and I know the fans are really keen on knowing how my motorbike experience is going. Still haven't, I probably haven't even sighted a motorbike in the last week, so.
Been sober enough yet.
Training hasn't started for me. Do you have sort of training wheels on those motorbikes? Can you do that?
No, man, haven't you had any practice in Thailand during the week? What's going on over there? Nothing on a scooter or anything?
No.
Okay, all right.
Jack, just Mount Panorama, what have you heard about the joint? And have you been warned that there are some very feral supercar supporters up there?
Well, I've watched a lot of it on TV. I want to get involved a little bit in the sort of the ferality of it. Is that a word? Ferality?
Have you always wanted to go, though?
I do. I've always wanted to go. I wanted my bucks there, but unfortunately it didn't work out. I think...
I wouldn't like to dodge a chair on the track if you threw that. It's like the racehorses, poor horses.
Oh, dear. I'm actually looking forward to just going for a bit of a stroll around the track and seeing all the famous parts of it and enjoying that, and then sitting back on Sunday and probably cracking into a few Carlton Draft Richmond Premiership cans and enjoying seeing our boy hopefully get the win.
Can you explain, Scott, this is, anyone thinks they can jump in a supercar and probably do a reasonable job. But
that's until, NASCAR. Anyone can jump in a NASCAR and drive around circles.
Like, Scott, the first time, can you explain, you know, the first time you went up the top of the mountain and watched, it's like the most radical roller coaster you've ever imagined for a racing circuit. And then the internationals who come out and look at it and go, holy crap. Like, you're on the edge, you're against concrete walls, and then the dip of the whole racetrack falls away from you. Like, you know, we're so lucky to have a racetrack like this in our country and as part of the supercar championship, but like, it'll blow Jack's mind, won't it?
It will. And the thing with Bathurst is TV doesn't do it justice. It, until you go there and you see exactly the elevation, the blind corners, all that sort of stuff, it doesn't do it justice. So first thing I'll be doing, and this is not just for Jack, this is for anyone, if they're going to Bathurst for the first time ever, they, one, try and do a lap, maybe walk it, or even... you know, just go around in a car. That's pretty decent. But you need to go to the top of the mountain, Jackie, and you need to watch like either the top 10 shootout or Friday qualifying if you're there in time, and see just all 26 of us just on the wall, on the fence. I remember like the where the great is, that's really the biggest commitment part of the track. You know, we're aiming for this 30 centimetre by 30 centimetre square grate, and that's our turning point. If we miss that, we're in the fence, and that's, you know, it's a bloody cool place to watch a, you know, a tonne and a half piece of sheet metal supercar, you know, come through there at 200 odd clicks.
So are people allowed to go on the track, like say when there's no racing, you're allowed to walk around on the track?
No. Well, you're allowed to walk on the track once the day's done. I'm not sure exactly throughout the whole circuit, because it's an open road, like people are living on it at the time. So once it, you know, they have resident access and all this sort of stuff throughout the days. But I know at night time, and I've done it before, gone out to the pit wall and there's people just watching the teams prepare the night before and all that sort of stuff. So, I'm sure, you'll be able to do that as well.
Very good.
In your book, Road to Redemption, Scott, you spoke about the lead-up to the event. So you go this afternoon. Tomorrow is a massive day. It's the Transporter Parade. They shut down the main street of Bathurst and welcome all the teams, the big signing sessions. You sort of stress that don't cook yourself before Sunday, because it's such a massive week. It's like a grand final week, Jack. But then they get to race day, and it's not just a three-hour game. It's a seven-hour marathon that they're racing for. So how do you try?
Well, it's 12 hours. It really is 12 hours, because you start at, like, your warm-up's at 7:30 or 8 o'clock or something on the morning, and you've got to be on from there. You're figuring out where the car is, what the track's doing, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it is important not to cook yourself. But one thing I haven't done, and I've said this, and I'll try to stress it to the team, and I was speaking to them, and also when the press asked me as well, I want to try and enjoy it this week. I'm coming into it with a position that not many championship leaders have been in the position before, especially not myself. I'm a couple of rounds ahead in points. I've got an opportunity to just enjoy the week and soak it all up and have a real crack at it. And I'm really calm about that. I'm really excited and know that if we do a good job, we're going to be there or thereabouts. But yeah, it is important not to just kill yourself, or make sure that your mind mentally is smashed. But I think what's going to keep me going is just the vibe I get from everything, and having people like Jack there and yourself, Timmy, my family, that all helps. And I'm really excited to enjoy it this week.
But do you have minders, Jack, do you even have this in grand final week, that just monitor you to make sure that you're eating the right thing, you're eating when you have to, you can say no to some things, you're not just signing sessions all day or appearances, between practice sessions, and you're on track from Thursday all the way through to Sunday, and then you have to make sure yourself that, we laughed about this, Jack, about making sure you slept on grand final, the night before.
Mate, he'll be
the
sleeping.
Final.
I've seen the bed he's going to sleep in. Yeah. It's fair dinkum. How could you not sleep in that?
But, it will be, I imagine, a pretty nervous time as well, because, this is the one thing that you haven't won that, as I said in the opener, that you crave the most.
Yeah, it's... Oh, the race is everything to me. It's one of those things where I think if I ended my career and hadn't won a Bathurst, I'd feel a little empty in some ways. So it's, I've still a few more years. I'm young and stuff, but I want to do it soon and get on with it. This year is the best chance I've ever had to do it. And in regards to your question with the minders, yeah, absolutely. We have I've got my physio there, Sammy. So massages and, making sure I'm eating right and all that sort of stuff, drinking enough. But we are busy. We're doing a lot of signing sessions, a lot of corporate visits, because our sport is driven by sponsorship dollars. We need them to go racing, and this is our biggest event, and the demand is high, but there is a way of controlling it, and we certainly do a pretty good job of that.
What does the week look like? So obviously we've spoken about early on the week and travelling up there. How much, so Friday's a big day for testing and preparing the car.
Thursday.
So what are you looking for with your setup? Are you sort of, is the feedback sort of live with you to the team and making sure you're getting the car exactly the way you set up? Or have you got a sort of pretty good idea already where you want every part of your car to be for, and everything you want fine-tuned, ready to go?
Yeah, I think we come there with a feeling of, a setup that we hope that when it hits the track, it's going to be there or thereabouts. We've also got the added wild card of an enduro where you've got another guy driving with you. So you've got to make sure that my teammate, my co-driver, Alex Premo, he's confident and comfortable. But what he'll do is probably work on the race setup, because he doesn't need to qualify the car. So he'll just, every session he's in the car, it'll be a race setup, full fuel, that sort of stuff. Probably most likely full fuel. Batting laps off and getting it right. And then come my sessions, I'll do a little bit of race just to feel and see if I'm happy with the car. That'll take two or three laps, and then we'll throw a quali setup back in it and have a real crack at some times and make sure that we can downpack that at that right. Because you want to be in the shootout. You want to be, you know, like your aim at the end of Friday is qualifying, you know, in the top five, because then you come up in the one of the last cars in the shootout when the track's colder and all that sort of stuff, and then you have a crack in the shootout and see if you can knock her on the first row and you know, really start your sort of weekend pretty strong.
Yeah, arguably you're the shootout champion. 2 years ago you set the track record there, and you said in the last podcast how important it is to qualify fast, and you think that time possibly could get beaten this year. Is it the be-all and end-all to be on the front at Bathurst? Unlike a lot of other events that are clearly less kilometres, is it the be-all and end-all?
It's not, but it makes your day less stressful if you start up the front. I think, you know, people have won it from the back, and everyone says, oh, you don't have to, you know, qualify the fastest to, you know, win Bathurst. Yep, you don't, but you can easily make it a lot easier for yourself to start at the front, and certainly I'll be going. And there's nothing like a Bathurst pole. So, like, the feeling I had that time, you know, it was unbelievable, and, you know, I'll never forget that, and I want to chase that feeling again.
Do you ever watch that, or would you watch it this week just to get a bit of inspiration?
It
was one of the coolest couple
I've already
of minutes
watched it. Yeah.
Daily.
But
just
not
to be
daily.
The only track, the only car out there on the track, you know, the top 10 shootout TV audience is bigger than just about every other race that you do all year, because everyone focuses in on the sport this weekend. It's the one time to shine on one lap, and, you know, 2 years ago you knocked it out of the park better than anyone ever has in the history of the place before.
Yeah, that's something that I'll never forget, and very similar to my hero Murph, that he did it you know, about 10 or so years before me, or 15 years before me. So, you know, look, I'm really excited. I get so nervous for those laps, though. I think it's a pressure cooker lap. You don't want to make a mistake, especially if you qualified up the front, and you don't want to sort of start 10th or where you could have been started one or two. So, you know, it's nerve-wracking, and it's a place that requires commitment, and sometimes you can overstep that limit a little bit.
Yeah, that's an amazing insight. So you actually do watch your previous laps there, and obviously 2017 is the lap we're talking about when you did that amazing time. I think it's 2:03, is that the time that was spent?
Yeah, 2:03.8.
So, yeah. Now, a lot of AFL players, they look at highlights packages of themselves. What are you looking for? Are you just looking for a bit of confidence in knowing that you can do that, or are you still looking at ways that you may have cornered in a certain area, taking anything tactically out, or is it really just a sort of feel-good to get yourself up?
It's not it's a little bit of a feel-good, but it's more like it's a belief that, you know, when you execute, when you best execute, that's the feeling you get. That's the feeling that, you know, there's no better feeling than driving a supercar so freely across that top of the mountain and like I did in that lap. And you know, I know that I'm probably going to have a car fast enough to do it this year or have a crack at a really fast lap, whether it's a 3.8 or not, I'm not sure. But, you know, I just look at it and yeah, it's a feel good. It's a reminder to me that when you best execute, when you focus, good things happen.
I don't know about you, Jack. Do you monitor when you're having a shot at goal, like, to breathe? Is it a stupid question? How many times would you breathe in a shootout lap when it's 2 minutes to rag the thing as hard as you possibly can? Is there a point where you actually have to, you know, turn three, I've got to take a breath just
to
make sure?
Even previously to starting the lap, like, I suppose there's a warm-up lap before the actual shootout lap. What's going through your mind there?
It's just
your breath
procedure.
One of your focuses as well, like getting yourself sort of centered?
Yeah, my breath is big for me and calming me down. I've got a procedure that I have with Emma Murray, who's, you know, won't be there on the weekend, but on the phone. And, you know, I'll breathe, especially, you know, on that warm-up lap and stretching my hands, making sure that's just my cues to, you know, all right, this is it, focus on A game sort of thing, focus on execution. And so the first sort of sector, I sort of warm up the tyres as best I can and brakes and all that sort of stuff. And then I have a real crack across the top of the mountain just to feel the grip of the track and all that sort of stuff. And then I sort of psych myself up for the start of the lap and get going. I think the last time, you know, on a Bathurst lap, you know, it's normally the only times I know where I'm breathing is down the straight, because I always try and just have a big, deep breath. But across the top, you know, it's just you come off the Forest Elbow, which is the last corner onto Conrod Straight, and you're physically like you got half a bit of arm pump and stuff. It's just you're holding onto the wheel so tight, it's crazy.
And the other thing Jack will marvel at, I'm sure, is the diehard fans. And
yeah,
look, you sort of joke about it, but you know, they max out at this racetrack. Like, you can't fit any more people in the town.
This is Woodstock for rev heads, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and it is. Yeah. But they are diehards because they're investing a lot of money because it's bloody
well, people
expensive
were there 2 weeks before.
There.
It's not just this week. They've been there for the last 3 weeks. And then they'll stay another 2 weeks after that or a week after that. It's crazy.
And Jack, you deal with fans a lot. But you'll see, Scott, like, it's there's a real drain on you as well. Like, it must be difficult that outside of his pit garage, there will be people and they'll be there at 6 o'clock in the morning waiting for an autograph, and they'll be still there at, I don't know, what time do your debriefs finish on Friday and Saturday, 7 or 8
yeah,
p.m.? 6,
7
they'll
o'clock,
be still
yeah.
waiting for you. It's like there's a hell of a lot of people there, and they are all absolute diehard, passionate fans of the sport.
Chuck in your book signing session as well. Geez, that's a... Which I think I'm going to
Are you going to come?
Yeah, well, I'm going to get my copy signed. That's I'm going to come on.
Oh, righto. You didn't have to pay for that, though.
What does it cost for an autograph with Scott McLaughlin?
Not as much as yours, champ. Two time.
No, but Scott, just talk to Jack about the fans and having to deal with them and almost have a minder as well to make sure you can get through the hordes of people.
Yeah, like you want to get to everyone. Like, I mean, I really enjoy that part of our sport, but sometimes you've got to go somewhere, and I genuinely hate being rude to some people, so just try and sign as many as you can, and then obviously I always have someone there just in case, like if I need to go somewhere, they come and get me, and they basically tell everyone that I've got to go rather than, but be a little bit good cop, bad cop type thing. I mean, it's hard. You don't always sign everyone, but you do your best. But I'm sure, you know, it's going to be a lot this year. It's going to be like the Mustang craze has been awesome for supercars, and something that hopefully, you know, the fans on top of the mountain get a good show with.
Is there people that just go to Bathurst and don't go to any other supercar races yeah. just because it's about yeah. religion? Is that
because they've been doing it? There's yep. a family for 4 decades.
Yeah, I know people that have been there for 40 years. They've done it. There's people that have done it since they were a kid. They're now, you know, 40 years old, 50 years old, still doing it every year. Haven't missed one. So it's they've seen a lot of changes. They've seen more than me. I think my first one was 2008, and I haven't missed one since. And it's, you know, I'm just in that lucky space where I get to drive, and it's just it's what, like waking up that morning on Sunday. It's just there's nothing like it. It's you know, mum says a funny thing. She's like, it's like Christmas Day, but not everybody gets a present. And that's sort of like something that I've always sort of taken on board.
So this weekend's race, do you think it's changed a little bit with what Red Bull Holden Racing Team has done this year, Scott? So Jack, they've gone and put 4 gun drivers together in the two cars.
So who are they?
Team.
So Lowndes and...
So Craig Lowndes retired last year, but he was kept as an enduro driver. So you know, he's an icon of the sport.
With Wincup?
And he comes and pairs with Jamie yep. Wincup. So they've got 2 A-plus drivers mm-hmm. in Car 88. And then Shane Van Gisbergen, and they've gone and got Garth Tander, who was probably run out of the sport. You know, he lost his seat at Gary Rogers Motorsport at the end of last year. So he is an A-grade driver and a 3-time winner of the event. So he's paired with Shane Van Gisbergen. And so it has changed a little bit that it now makes the rest of the field... I think you're all going to be chasing these 2 cars. Is that how you see it heading into this weekend?
Yeah, it depends how fast they are. You need car speed, and if they are, you know, which I'm sure they will be right at the front, they are going to be our main competition. And I think especially the Garth and Shane combination, that's very strong. Garth's always strong around there, and as you say, with Lowndesy, last year's winner, he's going to be on form too. So, but you know, as we've seen, it takes a lot more than just car speed and stuff to win that race. You know, it takes one luck. You know, it takes you know, the right calls, the right time, and you know, hopefully that falls our way.
But that will be daunting, won't it, when you hand the car over and you hand it to your French mate Alex Prema, who
no, it won't be daunting.
But it, I mean, putting your co-drivers. Supposed to not be as good as the main drivers, and here's this team have got 2 absolute A graders. So everyone really
well,
has
they're
to
two
step
co-drivers.
Up. Everyone
they're
has two to step co-drivers. Up to the plate, don't they?
They're the same as Alex, mate. He's going to be fine. It's hard when, yeah, absolutely. When you are a main game driver, you are better than the co-drivers because you're intertwined with those cars. You know that car like the back of your hand. I think it's not going to be as big a difference as everyone thinks. Yep, they're going to be fast. They're probably going to be the pace in co-driver land, but we have two awesome co-drivers in our team as well. With Alex, he's always fast. He hasn't been in the car all year, but he came back on the test day that we had a couple of weeks ago, and he literally, within two or three laps, he was a couple of tenths off me, and that's all we need. We need him to be right there or thereabouts, and I'm sure, Tander or Lowndes aren't that far away from Jamie and probably not faster. So if he's just right there, that's fine.
What do you do when he's in the car? Are you sort of, let's say, will you start in the car?
Normally, I've started most years, yeah. So that's normally the strategy.
So let's say you're one stint. Are you out, have a shower, sit back and watch him and sort of get some food into you, or are you really straight onto the TV and watching how he's going?
I'm a bit of a, crazy, like a bloody chicken with its head cut off. I sort of, get out, see where we're at, see how we're going. You sort of know where you're at as well before, like at the end of the first stint. I'll go in, have a think about it. I'll get changed, and then get into some fresh stuff, and then I'll go back and just watch a bit of the stint and stuff. I haven't been the best, backseat co-driver. I'm not really good with watching. But I have calmed down over the years, and that's a lot to do with Emma. But I'll go back on this and just watch it and just see what goes on, and hopefully just everything's going to plan, which I'm sure it will be, and we'll be there or thereabouts.
What about your health, Scott? Like how much do you set yourself to be at your absolute premium for this Sunday? Because we know how taxing and how long the event is, and how you have to be at the top of your game every single lap. I mean, last year you spoke, they're almost like qualifying laps.
Yeah, that was a very tough race, and it's just going to get faster. The race is getting faster and faster. So when you're popping 6.2s, 6.3s all the time, it's full on. And I mentally it is pretty draining. But I'll just be into the electrolytes, getting a massage here and there, looking after myself. Because normally the last stint is, bit of Bathurst, we jump in for three stints, which is, it's basically 3 hours in the car, and probably, I think it's like 400K. So it's a long way. It's nearly a Sandown 500 by yourself. So it's you got to look after yourself. Been training hard, feeling good. Hopefully we can, the body sits well.
Jack, do you remember what happened at the end of last year's race with David Reynolds?
Yeah, dude, didn't he cramped up, didn't he, sort of? I think he couldn't get his foot straight to push the brake in the accelerator, and didn't have enough Gatorade over the day. So
I think I've found something why David Reynolds started to not like Scott McLaughlin.
Really?
And it was from a great book written by Scott, Road to Redemption.
Sorry, you wrote the book.
No, that's Scott's words.
Yep.
Reynolds was the revelation, he's won the event before, but he was
signed a 10-year contract.
He was unbelievable last year at Bathurst. He had pole position on Saturday. He led pretty much the entire race on Sunday, and it looked like he was going to win a second Bathurst 1000 crown. And he is one of the fittest guys out there until his body fell apart in the last session. So these are Scott's words, which I think, read into this what you will, Jack.
Here we go.
You
wrote them, so you should have known this a while ago.
No, this is what I thought about it, and then I just grabbed the book before I came in today. So this is just before the last stint where Scotty was jumping in. Soon after, I heard of Reynolds' issues at Erebus. He was dehydrated and cramping badly, so badly that they should have taken him straight out of the car. I just don't think Davey's preparation was right. I do sympathise with him, but shit, you're the defending champ, you're the pole sitter, you've dominated this day, and you're not far off again winning the biggest race of the year, and you have to get out of the car. I don't know how that could happen, but I know it'll sit horribly, horribly with him for a bloody long time.
Wow. Have we got a bombshell saw noise? That's a genuine bombshell.
It was a decent whack there. But
I'm sure that
will be playing on Dave's mind, that he just wasn't right on the Sunday morning, which he admitted.
Apparently he wasn't sleeping. He wasn't sleeping, all that sort of stuff, which is, it's crazy.
He didn't have the Taj Mahal.
But that all comes down to preparation, Jack. It's
where did the other drivers stay then?
Houses.
So houses, like at the track or away from the hustle and bustle of it, or is there a hotel there, isn't there?
That's 50-50. You know, I don't know if everyone stays in the Ridges, which is right there.
Yeah. Well, there's one right on the track, isn't there? I've seen it on TV.
Honestly, 50% stay in houses and 50 stay in like a motorhome like mine.
Mate, there isn't many.
Maybe
like
not
that.
Like mine because it's not like a Tiffin, but certainly, I have always enjoyed staying at the track. I'm with the guys. It puts me in a good headspace. I just really enjoy the, you know, putting your trackies out and being able to walk around your race car. It's a pretty surreal sort of feeling before the biggest race of the year. And, you know, it's worked for me. But my teammate, for instance, Fabian, he stays in the house. And I don't like leaving the track. I think it's, you know, trying to get there by car, you know, getting up early, I'd rather just stay at home and in the motorhome and be right there and wake up with my suit on Sunday morning and just get going.
Are you looking forward to meeting the big dog? Will you introduce Jack to Big Roger Penske this weekend?
Yeah, I will.
How will he be getting on the track?
I don't know. I think obviously he'll fly in and do his. He does a lot of business while he's here as well, mm-hmm. so he'll be doing bits and pieces along the way. But I'm sure he's very excited. He's been an avid listener, I hear, of Balls and Bumpers, so I'm sure that he'll be really. Yeah, he'll know exactly what's going on. Obviously, I heard about your antics last week, and I'm really, really excited to meet you.
So, Tommy,
he's a big sports fan, though. I'll give you that. So he'll be interested. Good. Just
What does it mean? What will it mean to you if you do win it? It's been on the bucket list for you and a lifelong dream for you. What will it mean if you can take the? Is it the Peter Brock Trophy? What will that mean for you?
It's just the final piece of the puzzle, mate. It's just the. It's the Holy Grail. It's did happen, it's quite possibly the biggest moment of my career, even above the championship. So, but like I said, if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I know that I'm going to be doing every bit I can, executing the best I can, and making sure that, you know, also all my team's up to scratch and we're ready to go and ready for the biggest race of our lives. And I think we're with a good shot.
We know Jack how he celebrates. After you won the premiership, imagine the celebrations if he's able to be the Bathurst 1000 champion by Sunday night.
Wowee. That's all I can say. Wowee. That camper van might not be going back in one piece, put it that way. It'll be a party.
I told him today.
A party at the palace. A party at the palace.
There's a fair chance I might not turn up the Gold Coast a couple of weeks' time if we did get it done. So I might have to go into someone else's. Help with it.
And just from the rest of the field, Scott, the one other car that you'll be most mindful of across Thursday practice, Friday qualifying, the shootout Saturday, and then across the race on Sunday, who are you most, not fearful of, but who do you think will be your main opponent?
Like we talked about the Triple Eight guys, they'll be right there. Davey, I think if he's up to scratch, they'll be there. Both those cars are very fast. Tickford guys and the other Mustangs as well, as well as my teammate Fab. So there's a few guys that's going to be right there. But we'll just worry about ourselves, execute and get done.
Okay, time for Jack's top five, which now, as we said last week, has its own sponsor.
Hey, Dad, in the olden days, did your car have a fridge and canopy?
No, son.
What was it like?
Well, the Esky would leak on hot days, the tray would fill on rainy days, and the suspension was so rough, things would go flying out the back.
But now we can get a canopy from the new car shop?
You betcha, kiddo. We can get all our ARB accessories straight from the dealer. Just gotta ask.
Order your ARB accessories with your new car today. Talk to the team at ARB Bairnsdale and Traralgon or the new Sale four-wheel drive centre. Just gotta ask.
Oh, well, we're back for the top five. Scott, still haven't got a sponsor for any of your segments, but I've managed to jump on one. And the team at ARB, they're on board, and I've been informed. This is Roger Penske, your boss. It's his favourite segment of the podcast, and he's an avid listener. He usually fast forwards through all your junk and then just puts
he's
it on.
He's a friend. Friend of the podcast.
Official friend of the podcast.
Or maybe official boss of the podcast.
Okay, we'll take that. So, just quickly, for all your 4x4 needs, from the Latrobe Valley to the border, drop in and see Daniel, Emily, and the teams at ARB Traralgon, Sale 4 Drive Centre, and ARB Bairnsdale. Where's Bairnsdale?
Joey?
Southeast?
Victoria.
Southeast. So, if you want, if anything four-wheel drive, Tim, go and see them, all right? And you'll get a bloody good discount. I can promise you that. They're a good crew down there at those stores.
Still waiting for the Raptors to arrive from Scott, but anyway.
Still haven't got anything. All right, top five. Well, it pains me to do this, Tim, but I'm going to do the top five today on people that have flipped. So whether they've flipped on their sporting organisation and gone to a rival, or people have thought they're going one way and they've sort of gone the other way. That's where the top five is going to be headed to today. Mm, so, let me just bring up my material.
Wikipedia,
because I've used it here. And then the official brother of the podcast has actually given me a little bit of material today.
Oh,
one of your sparring partners who did a number on you on Grand Final Day.
Number
five, DeAndre Jordan. Now, DeAndre Jordan was is a basketball player over there in the NBA. He signed a 4-year, $80 million deal with the Dallas Mavericks. He was a player for the LA Clippers, and the Mavericks owned by Mark Cuban, who's rose to fame on the Entourage TV shows as well, and has a tequila company. And then decided 5 days later, he's like, you know what? Well, I actually don't really want to sign with the Mavericks. And so, what they did at the Clippers, he said, I agreed to with terms at the Clippers. But what they did at the Clippers is the players and the coach got him into the building and actually locked him in the building for 3 days. So that Mark Cuban couldn't come and get him and try and talk him back into going to the Dallas Mavericks there. So he flipped, and then he flipped back old DeAndre Jordan. So he's number five.
Wow.
Number four, Bill Belichick. He's the coach of the New England Patriots. He's probably the most famous coach in the NFL. He announced himself as the New York Jets coach January 26, 2000, arch rival of the Patriots, and then proceeded to resign the next day and go and sign up and be the coach of the Patriots. So he was the coach of the New York Jets for 1 day. And he actually used
Must have been offered a squillion dollars to come back.
Maybe, but he actually used a napkin as his resignation letter to the Jets. So not only is he just resigned after one day, he just wrote it on a napkin and said,
"That's unbelievable."
Oh, boy. Yeah, that is
unbelievable. That is. Number four here. Number three. Lance Franklin. Now, we all thought he was going to go to GWS, didn't we, when he was going to leave Hawthorn? It was the worst kept secret in AFL footy that Buddy was going to go from the Hawks and go to the new boys, the GWS Giants. But the bombshell was dropped, and the super manager, Liam Pickering, he actually got him to the Sydney Swans. And then Buddy proceeded to play in grand finals against Hawthorn and was on the wrong side of that one there. So we thought he was going to the Giants, but he ended up at the Swans.
Is Liam Pickering your manager as well?
That would be correct, Scotty. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So any deals you want to go to him, go to Liam Pickering, Precision Sports. Number two, you two are going to have to help me out of this one because I asked a few questions about this. But Craig Lowndes, so it is taboo, isn't it, to go from forward to Holden or Holden to forward?
Well, back in the day, even worse. Yeah.
You're talking to a bloke who started his career in a Holden, went to a Volvo. He's now in Ford. The only thing he hasn't driven is a Nissan out there.
But back in the day, so we're 2000, Lowndes went from Ford to Holden. Is that right? So he's going from Holden to Ford.
For the 2001 season, he went to Ford.
He was Holden's biggest.
He was a postal
even at
so
that
he's
time.
Like he was basically what Scott is right now.
Yep.
So he swapped cars over to a Ford and finished 7th and 11th. Then he was still with Ford, but then he went back to Holden. So he's a flipper. And I reckon, Scotty, maybe have a bit of a word to him about it this weekend. Get inside him mentally.
Is
get
your
inside
practice
him.
Session Ooh. Start? Are we at Thursday yet, Scott?
No, but here it is, boys.
Yeah.
There's actually a reason I've done this.
You've got to get Scott on a plane down to Bathurst.
It pains me, Tim. It pains me to do it. But our boy, Scott McLaughlin, halfway through the third quarter of the grand final, this has come to me the official brother of the podcast. This has come to me. He declared himself a Richmond supporter halfway through the third quarter. Scott, is this true? Is this true?
I said it. What does it take for me to sing the song properly?
Yeah. Let's try it now, Scott. Away you go.
No, I don't know the words. I forgot them. No. Shut it off. Worst song. Shut it off.
Tim, our boy is a flipper. You're right. You know what? I knew it was happened somewhere. I didn't know about this sort of Holden Volvo Ford thing. You've been a flipper for ages, all right? Now you've flipped from the mighty Bulldogs to the mighty Tigers. You flipped and you wore a jumper and you saw Bob Murphy and you broke his bloody heart, the heart and soul of the Western Bulldogs, and you've just jammed that down his throat, haven't you?
No.
You're a flipper, mate. You're a flipper.
I'll give you a flipper, champ.
Oh, there you go. That's
there's Jack's
top five.
Top five, and we actually do have to get Scott on a plane down to Bathurst. So
I've actually
finish
got a
this off with a. You're an angry man as well. Yep, you've
I'm
got
angry
a rant.
Man. So we're not prim and proper here at Balls and Bumpers. We're the Bathurst people. You know, we're the group that have been going for 40 years. Hodgie, you bloody love it. You get there. You don't do any manscaping stuff. I'd hate to out him again, but our boy, Scott McLaughlin, threads his eyebrows.
You've already said this.
Well, I'm back over it because it came across my desk again, mate. Seriously.
Oh,
I'm starting to question you. You've got a dog that you think's your son. Will he be coming to Bathurst, Chase?
He will now, just to piss you off. And I'll put him in your van.
And you thread Cock your head. Eyebrows, seriously.
No, I don't. No, well, you got to look after him.
Well, you know how I know this is.
Does your brother do it as well?
Yeah, I think he doesn't. He needs to as well. Because these blokes, seriously, it was like a set of caterpillars when they were sitting next to each other in the football. Fair dinkum.
Mate, that guy's got more hair on his top lip than he does his eyebrows, that bloke. So, yeah, there's no way. Like, you can't out me twice. That is absolutely BS. It's your rant.
The people want to know, mate. And they love the rant. And, yeah, you seriously need to have a good hard look at yourself.
Hang on, Jack. I'm so glad. Can you just walk over to the phone? It's the biggest week of the year for the supercars.
No.
I'm pretty sure
yet.
He's had the brows done.
Yep, confirmed. Confirmed. It's sort of some sort of waxing setup. I can see the red marks on it.
He's going to be looking real fine on the telly this weekend.
Yeah. That's the way, mate. That's the way. Look good, feel good, play good.
You got to look after your image, boys. You got to look after your image. You know, these things are trademarked.
Black pants, red polo, threaded eyebrows. You beauty.
Oh.
The Penske way.
If I win, Jack, you've got to wear black pants, tucked in shirt, black Puma shoes, Nike shoes, and like the
drink
Shelby power top. Yeah.
Right,
and that's
no
coming
drama.
Out Sunday. And yeah. And you can squeeze into mine because you're about four sizes too big for
all
me.
Right, I'll do that.
In the top half.
Rightio. That's
right,
it. I've got to go.
Hey, Scotty, Sunday, it's your holy grail. It's the biggest day in the sport for the year. It's what you crave the most. We wish you all the best and hope it's an absolute ripper for you.
Thanks, boys. See
good
you
luck,
up there.
Mate.
And
thanks.
Jack, enjoy your Bathurst Virgin. Hope it's gone.
I just want to come back alive after the stories we heard today. So hopefully we're coming back celebrating a win with our boy. Balls and Bumpers.
Let your tires down.
Don't let us down, mate. Don't let us down. Seriously, don't let us down.
Are you ready? Supercross is coming to Melbourne. Don't miss the Monster Energy OzX Open inside Marvel Stadium on November 30. See two-time world champion Chad Reed take on 2018 world champion Jason Anderson from the USA, Australia's best, and the greatest of all time, Ricky Carmichael. More racing, more action, more entertainment for all ages. Don't miss out. Book at Ticketmaster now.